Okay, this is the second Chabura on the topic of Nidan Hashem Sofa. Welcome to the newcomers. Okay, just a quick overview of what we developed, I guess, last Thursday night, is that we're going to see that there are two groups of Rishonim, of Mefarshim, in the Sugya, in terms of what is the primary Mechayev of Misa for Ben Soromor. Right, we all know that the Mishnah and Brisa explicitly state that the Mechayev is Nidan Hashem Sofa, which implies at first glance that it's very much, you know, future-focused. But we're going to see that while one group of Rishonim of Mefarshim think that, in Hanami, the primary Mechayev of Misa for Ben Soromor is the future actions, we're going to see that a second Mechudash group of Rishonim think that, no, really the past actions are the primary Mechayev of Ben Soromor. So that's what we developed last time, and we're going to, you know, flesh that out a little bit more. So as we started last time, as we pointed out, that based on, you know, this major, you know, core issue in the Sugya, these two various approaches, we're going to use these two various approaches to analyze, you know, a number of, you know, called impacted issues within the Sugya. So the first impacted issue we're going to be discussing is the first issue of Onesh Skila. Again, as pointed out last time, the big question that bothers many Mefarshim in the Sugya is if the Pash Pshat of Nidan Hashem Sofa is going to be Malastein, Esav Brios, is that it's going to kill people in the future. We know that killing is only Chayev Saif. So basically, where does the Chayev Skila come from? That's the basic question that we're going to address. So as we pointed out last time, the various answers of the Mefarshim to this question of where does the Onis Skila come from, basically can be broken down along the lines of these two approaches. One group of answers are going to align with the first approach by looking to the future actions to justify the Chiyuv Skila, while another group of Mefarshim are going to look at past actions to justify the Chiyuv Skila. So with that, so the first group of Rishonim, again, are looking to the future actions. So we already mentioned, we call the first version of this, we call 1A, the number of Rishonim who basically point to the fact that Malasim is Abrios does not just refer to a future killing, but also refers to a future Chilul Shabbos. That was the first version of this. We call it 1A, and we discussed a couple of nuances within that. I'm just going to go quickly through a number of different versions of that. Again, of this first category of answers of, you know, Mefarshim will look to future actions to justify the Chiyuv Skila. So again, the first version, 1A, was to look at a future Chilul Shabbos. That would be one clear justification of the Chiyuv Skila. Called 1B, the second version, is found in the Aruch Lener, in his first answer to this question, where he says, perhaps the Malasim is Abrios is not just killing, but also includes kidnapping. So again, that's a second, again, action in the future, which would justify the Skila, again, by saying, we also assume, you're Chayiv Skila for kidnapping a person. So that'd be another version of looking to future events to justify the Chiyuv Skila. That's pretty simple. We'll move on from there. Exactly. So we'll get to that's right now. Slightly different version, but basically very similar. The way that Mizrahi says is that Malastem es Abrios la davka, but it's really a number of Averos, including any Avero which would be Mechayev Skila. So again, very similar. How does that is a different thing? 1C being the Mizrahi. Again, la davka kidnapping, but he just refers to any number of Averos which are Chayev Skila. Again, these are just simple answers that we don't.
Even if it's Nidan Hashem Sofa, it doesn't mean that this is exactly the dimmit that we're being done in as to what he's being done on Hashem Sofa, because it's not. It's like a hinge that we are able to kill Hashem Sofa. So, in Hanam, you give him Skila for the din of Betzor or Morin, which is not the din that you're giving him, which is not the din of Hashem Sofa. Meaning,
one more time?
He's Nidan Hashem Sofa, but that's not really the Mechayev of Skila. The Mechayev of Skila is the fact that he's a Betzor or Morin.
But I guess you have to flesh out. What does that mean that he's a Ben Soromor?
Explain it.
What?
I can't explain it.
Okay, so that's what we're working on.
The din of Ben Soromor is Hashem Sofo.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the Chiyuv Misa is coming exactly Hashem Sofo. It's symbolic. It's not an actual Hashem Sofo. Hashem Sofo is Chiyuv Misa. And that's why.
You have to answer
punishment.
Where it's
extreme punishment. That's why you're giving a Misa. That's why a Ben Soromore, which seems like it's not such a crime, nevertheless he gets Misa.
B'wai skila. All the mefarshim are bothered.
Because he has a special din of Ben Soramora.
I'm saying that's just not answering the question. I mean, saying that's a special din is evading the question. What?
Why skila for kidnapping?
I'm not asking
questions.
Every time the Torah gives a punishment. No, but the
one. Well, why that one, not that one?
Okay, but that's a separate question. That's like, okay, why is the Torah specifically linked certain averos with certain mitzvos? Okay, but let's just. But here's no. We're trying to figure out. I mean, Ben Sora Moreh is not. I mean, is a topic which entails distinct averos. So when you say that Ben Sora Moreh is Michayev Skila, so all the Mefarshim are trying to figure out, okay, so like which Avera, which is part of this process, the story, this narrative of Ben Sora Moreh. What?
It's like Torah wants.
But Ben Sora Moreh is not an Avera. Ben Sora Moreh is not an Avera. Ben Sora Moreh refers to a person who performed distinct actions.
Can we just say when you want someone to get a Kamara for Ghost House, it's you.
But what's the guitar for Ben Sora Moreh? In short, a Ben Sora Moreh is a person who performed distinct acts. So the reason why all the Mefarshim are bothered by this question is because they're trying to isolate or identify which action did the Ben Sora Moreh do which justifies the Chayav Skila. Again, it's not like saying, it's not like asking, oh, why is an Avodah Zarah, violates Avodah Zarah, why is a Chayav Skila? That's a clear question. That's clear. But a Ben Sora Moreh is a person who has distinct actions. You're trying to figure out which of those various actions is the whole story. There's a past, there's a future, so you're trying to identify which action is the core Mechayev, and try to figure out how that action ends up being responsible for
Chayav Skila.
We'll hold off for now. Yeah.
So according to Aruch Haner, which category? The Aruch Haner was saying that it shouldn't be in the future.
In the future, yeah. Exactly. All everything that I've quoted so far are all future. Exactly. These are all future focused. Again, whether it's 1A, Chol Shabbos, 1B, kidnapping, 1C, any of their own, it's really not being specific. And now getting to the fourth version, it was 1D. Again, this is all within one, which is the future focused.
I think you can find something we saw something that would happen in the future.
We'll get there. Okay. Fine. So the fourth version, so now we're going to get the last two, versions within this first approach are going to be the two answers of the Gurari, which are both Chidushim. We're going to try to analyze them a little more fully. Okay. So the first answer of the Gur Aryeh is what? Anyone recall the Gur Aryeh's answer to this question of what is the Mechayev of Skila? Remember inside source number 4 here? Again, it's probably to die to read inside. What? No, that's he rejects that. He quoted the Mizrahi and then he rejected it, and then he said that he's going to end up killing multiple times. He ends up killing multiple people. So, Yitzi, would you mind reading? Do you have anyone have the source? It's important just to see the Lashon. Yeah, Hanina, please. So, starting with the Yireh de Lokasha. Take it away. Loud, please.
Here at Rosh Hashanah, if you go to the Hatzara, a dying of the picture, even if you go like the Sara of something that has to be hard, you still have a problem. Hazar, Shehu Ben Sara Moreh, Gorim Shahaya Horei, Kamad of Hashanah, Kishvil Shahaya, Shayi and Ibaki Shibudo. Just by the fact that he's a Ben Sara Moreh, he causes that he's the fact that he'll be killing many different people.
Exactly.
Because he's
okay. This is an addiction. This is an ongoing activity, and therefore. Right. So, in short, the answer is why. I mean, again, if the basic question is how is killing, which is sayev, result in skila? Answer is these are multiple killings, and therefore it's more chamor. That's the short answer. then it's important. Then he asks the basic question on
so
this.
So meaning, even though Rode Stam is by Sayyid, one who
Rode,
many it, times is by
even if, yeah, I'll just drop the word Rode, but yeah. Even if someone who kills once is Chayev Sayyid, since this person can kill multiple times, he's going to be Chayev Skila. Now just finish up the Alpha Gav.
Alpha Gav, she will hire the self and Sai Ben Asho, Bo Haya Indo, not the Sai. She ain't based in the Sai Ben also, not Alpha Gav, she will have all the Asia.
This is a very important Kasha that he asks on himself. Well, what's the implicit Kasha that he asks?
What?
I don't think that's what he's referring to.
Basically, wouldn't be Chayev Skila if he did time.
I mean, you're saying, let's say Lamaisa, he killed multiple people. A serial killer. Do we ever find that a serial killer is Chayev Skila? No. So what? Did I miss?
I said Nish.
Okay, thank you. For those who didn't understand, no.
Some of you went under, yeah.
Yeah. Paul, behave yourself. Yeah. Yeah, Kamina? So what's the answer? Shein Bezdin. Okay, right.
What's the question?
So the implicit kasha is, what do you mean? Why does multiple killings here result in Skila? If in general multiple killings, a serial killer who killed multiple people in the past is only Chayev Sayyid, it's a very sensible question. It seems to be a direct stira to his Kiddush. So the answer is She'in based in, just go back one.
She'in based in the Chayev and also Rak Al Khayt Afa and Shabal Rav Eidah.
So what's the answer?
That based in is not going to be the Chayev. It's only going to be the Chayvim on one chait that we didn't come and testify on.
Yeah.
Meaning, there's never a case where there are multiple, where there's a serial killer that's judged for all of his killings.
Seemingly. We'll get that in a second. That's going to be a question. But he's basically answering, what do you mean? The classical case of Beis Din is where you have one, seemingly like Kata Beis Din, who come to testify about one murder. And therefore, Beis Din only deals with Eidim. Eidim testified to one murder, one second. And therefore, they deal with Sayyaf. Just finish the line. So in short,
basically, he's unlike where there would just be one Misa case in front of the basement and they would be making parallel, let's say, here, that he's being going. The fact that later on he'll kill many people, and because of that, we didn't
see that. Exactly. So just to summarize, basically, in short, his answer is that here, we're dealing with Nidon Hashem Sofo, we're taking into account multiple misos, but generally, a Beis Din is only done on one misa, right? A Kata Beis Din come in to say, oh, we saw this person kill that one person, and that's what we done on. Before I take any questions, I just want to ask the obvious question, sort of thing, it was hinting to it. The question is, okay, but let's say we have a case where there are a Kata Beis Din who testify about a serial killer. The same Kata Beis Din saw multiple killings. Lo matzinu that such a person is Chayev Skila. Right, is that a valid question on the Gur Arye? Right, the Gur Arye is saying, seems to answer his question by saying, don't ask me about the case of a serial killer, because typical case of Beis Din Shalmata is that Kata Beis Din would testify on one.
Unlike
Ben Sarumur, who's multiple. That's the question, or should I answer the question before I take the questions? I'm going to answer the question, I feel like. What? What? Okay.
Someone that eventually becomes a
Mu'ah,
even though it's never been in
Basin
at once,
when
you bring
it
to
Basin. So what's the connection here?
Because there you have several simultaneous cases in Basin that accumulate to produce a different punishment.
So you're trying to say that this case would be skill?
Yeah.
Oh.
With the murder.
Do you know that to be? Or you're just saying because we see another case where the din is different?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where you have several cases. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He says not only general, he says that you're only
for
one of them.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, but let's say you have a case where you have a Kat of Edim justify about multiple murders. So why isn't the din different? I'm just saying, I have never found, I've never seen, you know, I'm not suggesting maybe the din is different. I don't think the din is different. So the question we have to understand is why? Why is it that when it comes to Al Shem Sofa, we say that multiple retichos changes the onesh from Sayev to Skila? When it comes to a serial killer, I would suggest even when there's a single kat of Edom who testify that there are multiple killings, some reason that's still only Sayev.
Oh, it's a din of Edom, the general din is a report. I mean, what, by the fact you're using Edom, it means definitionally that you're compartmentalizing one. It's not that everything's all at once, and therefore it's going to be.
Why is that so different?
Because you're not saying that there's this case and this case and this case, and each of these would be all.
Excellent. Okay, very good. Excellent.
What if it's one case where there's, let's say, shoots multiple
people? You're still dominating them individually.
Exactly.
It might be one action.
Okay. So just develop it so we can have everyone understand it. I'll just explain right now. So I had in mind exactly what Yitzi was saying, is that the chiluk is really alpidim. It's not just, mitzias. You know, generally, Beis Din Shalmata deals with one murder. The din seems to be the same even if, you know, there are multiple murders. But exactly as Yossi is saying, it's like a chilek al pi din. Namely, that even when a kat of Eidim come and testify about multiple murders, the way Beis Din or Makabel the Eidus compartmentalizes a good way, Paulo would say it's different files, that the way Beis Din is Makabel the Eidus is they're Makabel, even though they said it in one statement, they interpret it as distinct idioms. And therefore, then they're going to be done on each case in isolation. And therefore, in the case of an edus, even if they are testifying about mass murder, and even if it was with one shot or one explosion that killed everybody, it doesn't matter. Al pi din, the way Beis Din interprets the edus on multiple retzichos, is that each one independently. And just to add a little bit, when it comes to Ben Sora Amora, what is mitzarev, all the misos together, is that, exactly what he's saying, is that you're looking at the Ben Soramura, and you're looking at his future trajectory. And that future trajectory is what's mitzarev all of them together. Because you're looking at a person, his mindset, and his future actions, and you're looking at that behavior as a total package. And because that single behavior is going to include these multiple retzichos, so that is mitzarif them all together, such that when we're done the Ben Sora Moreh, we done the Ben Sora Moreh as one case in terms of all his retzichos together. You know, first? Yeah.
If we're Shkoh, in the case that Eden made that it was 1111, then why would we ever have something like Kino Yom 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 come in Yom Yom? Because they're, why would it be separated into two different things? I mean, if in the same action someone kills multiple people, why there can be separated, but we are willing in some cases to say something like Kumari Yom. Okay.
So, it's a good question. We're actually going to be dealing with Kumari Yom on different topics in this barrack, so we'll get to it more later. But in short, one of the big...
That's all the same question.
No, it's two different options. Kim Lev Drah Minei is that there's an Onesh Chacham or an Onesh Chacham.
But they're killing a Sayev.
What?
If you kill somebody,
it's Sayev. Yeah, I think you're just asking a general question. If we're willing to compartmentalize, these multiple killings, so why are we willing to compartmentalize a Kim Lev and say a Chai both? Is that in essence?
But Maisa, you can't get them both, so that's why.
Okay, we'll get to the Kimlay. In short, I don't want to get too far afield. But in short, Kimlay, one of the big aspects of the Sugya, and we'll get to it, is different factors which are needed to be mitzarev, both actions. The big part of the Sugya is whether it be timing, gaba oriented, maisa oriented, time oriented. We'll go through all these different examples.
All these things in a place where you shoot people that
again, also there, you're dealing with, honestly, if you really want to know, one of the exceptions to Kinle is, actually, this is one of the topics, is called Misa Lezev Tashum Lezev. Is that when the case at hand impacts two different people, so then that's one of the Keturim of Kinle. So if you're looking for a direct parallel to here, where your Misa kills two different people, but the simplest answer. That's a Gemara 9 Dalet Amarav, which we'll get to, when the Sugya is called Misa Lezev Tashum Lezev, and the way some of the balatosis understand that is that, you know, when your actions are adversely impacting two different parties, so then that breaks the connection between them, and even if they take place simultaneously, there's not going to be kimurin in such a case. So that would be a parallel.
Do you mind passing an example of tearing down a house on Shabbos? So you want your house to pay?
That would be one example of a kimurin.
Why is it not the same thing?
That's also, that's part of that. We're going to hold on. I just want a lot to cover and... These are all good questions, just when I'm not answering, it just means we're going to... Because Kimla is one of our topics, and that's related. Sure, part of the Misal Zet Hashem Lezet questions is, let's say one of them is to Hashem, just like you said. So,
you know, we're saying that it
Meaning, I think Gerardia would go to that. Meaning, there's no evidence to say. Yeah, I mean, there's no evidence. Well, I mean, that's good. He's saying that's Sora Mora. He's saying it's only the case of that Sora Mora do you find that. So he's asking on himself, basically, we never find this elsewhere. So he's trying to say, oh, well, then Sora Mora is unique. What we were saying is that he seems to. When he's drawing the distinction like in an extreme opposite case where it's like, you know, eight of them are being made on one killing. We're just saying, okay, well, let's say the other case where it's the eight being made on multiple killings, we also don't find a difference, and that's why we draw the distinction.
So
the time limit.
What?
There's a time limit.
Right. This will be very brief. Not to mention. Yeah. So the Gur Ari I thought he had an earlier chiddush, which is that this is the case of Safek.
Yeah, we dealt with that last time.
But hold on a second. Is this?
We dealt with it.
No, I hear. But is this later? Is the conclusion of this first shot of the Gur Ari supposed to assuage the Gur Ari's earlier worries that this is a case of Safek Nafshu? Just because, okay, so in Akami is 5 Sila, you know, you'd be 5, but Sila times 10, nonetheless.
No, the only issue of Safek was the answer of Shabbos. In the previous, the Mizrahi's answer that the Gur Ari rejects in the basis of Safek Nafshu Lahakel is the answer that, oh, basically, perhaps he's going to perform his killing on Shabbos. To which the Gur Ari, you know, protests and says, what do you mean? How do you know? This can't be on Sunday through Friday. So his answer is, no, we're not dealing with Shabbos, because in Echanami, that's Safek.
But
what Vadai is, he's going to do multiple Ritzichos, that's Vadai. Uh-huh. And once you're doing that multiple Ritzichos, but Torah's Vadai, that's the justification for the school.
Why would that same objection apply?
Because it's Vadai. We know that he's going to perform multiple Ritzichos. The only Safek is which day of the week it's going to be on.
So in other words, the Safek Nefasho's concern if you skila is brought from Shabbos, not if you misa.
Exactly.
I think the way we're presenting the Gerard point is still sort of dodging the question, answers dodging the question. Insofar as originally the question was the relationship between the action the person committed and the punishment the person received, and we still haven't really answered that. We've indicated that there's a behavior pattern, right, which the actions might be like collectively related to, which leads to a punishment. But we've arbitrarily chosen that punishment based off of the behavior pattern, not based off of the actions of the victim.
No. I think there are two stages. I think the factor of like behavior is that's just to join, that's just to create a tzeirah, a connection between the different ritzichos. That's all you need to accomplish. Once you have a connection between all different ritzichos, so then the other assumption that the Gur Ari makes is that, yeah, multiple ritzichos deserve a more chamer onish. You can argue on that also, but that's not the question at hand. Because the only question at hand was, I mean, why do you not find that multiple ritzichos in other contexts don't have that more chamer onish?
Right, the question is, I guess, the way in which I understood this question, and I think with the language of notes, is less a question of just why is he getting something which is more chamer, which is some language that you see in the other returning, but rather specifically why he's getting skila. And in that context, I don't think he's answered that really. Because
no, good.
As it, because
that,
he
his
might,
follow-up question or his original question?
I mean,
his original question, he answered. I mean, he justified. I mean, in his mind, the chumer of multiple tzichos deserves skill. That's an assumption he makes, and he's not bothered by that. The only question he's bothered by is, okay, but you don't find that multiple tzichos in other contexts, and therefore, then we were just challenging that.
Right, no, I get that, but I'm saying the way in which we revised that was almost to create like a layer in between the action of the tzichos and the punishment. So all I'm saying is that, given that you've created now that layer, just sort of behavior in addition, that there's not a direct correlation between the action and the punishment, the question then becomes that the action almost is irrelevant. So it could have been tzichos, it could have been Shabbos, it could have been anything, which eventually led to being Shabbos, to being from getting skila. So then you really haven't answered the question of the relationship between skila and tzicha. You just try to sort of dodge the question.
I don't know if I agree with that, but maybe we'll talk about it again. We're gonna have to go right through soon, but
I don't understand. You say we're judging him like now based on multiple murders. But if we play it out, we don't judge him now. When he murders once, we're gonna say he's chayav then twice, and which would be chayav, and then so once he's chayav chayav, we won't say then later. And we come up with skila. So how can we say now that we're judging? We're saying neither of them. So now we're judging him based off the multiple times he's going to kill
in the future. Yeah.
But if we play it out in the future, if he murders once, he's chayev sayev. Or even if he murders multiple times, you said he'll only be chayev. He'll only be chayev.
You're saying we're going to just let's put him to death after he kills one time.
What?
The question you asked in Seder, like, we'll put him to death after this first murder.
But also, even if he murders multiple times, he said he'll only be chayav skila. So how can we?
No, but the point is that the misa that we administer now, as a nidon al shem sofa of these multiple ritzichos in the future.
But it's not really a nidon al shem sofa. Even if we play it out, he'll only be chayav skila. If we play it out, he'll only be chayav skila.
Inside.
Oh, yeah, only behind side. Yeah, we played all only behind side.
But the whole point is that you know the analysis of a past offense is fundamentally different than the analysis of future offenses. That's the use over here. That you're saying that's the point. That's the Gerari's. That's the distinction we're drawing. In a Hanami, if he did something in the past and you have edus on that, so then we judge each one independently. But here we're forward facing. We're looking at his trajectory. We're looking at his actions now, what that will lead, and we're saying this is all going to lead to a life of multiple retichos. Never we judge that all is one big bubble, and when we're analyzing that one single bubble of multiple retichos,
this is
a, that's
the case
healing.
Of tefillah is more common than tefillah.
Yes, because it's multiple versus single.
Why is that not a problem?
I think I'm going to be around. We just have to go because otherwise. The problem is Shira has to catch up to you guys later, so we're going to have to limit questions to the next couple of minutes so that in terms of how much I want to get done now, this is probably like a sixth that I had in mind. I think it's like half the time. So we're going to limit questions, and again, I'm around a lot, so feel free to ask me all questions. Fine. So the last version of this, but again, within this first approach, we call it like 1E. In terms of, again, another justification based on the future actions of the Ben Sora Moreh is the second answer of the Gur Aryeh. Again, another Chiddush. This is where the Gur Aryeh invokes the Din of Rodev. Again, where he says that basically, in Hanami, again, the future is the future of Misa, of Ritzicha, but because this person is on his path towards that Ritzicha, right, since he is performed certain actions which will lead to that Ritzicha, that ultimate Ritzicha, so we don such a person, we characterize such a person as a Din Rodev, and once he's a Din Rodev, plug in the Din Rodev, and the Din Rodev is kill him in any way, any which way possible, which includes Skila, any Misa that you want. So in short, again, there's another, as you can see, it's another, again, forward-facing, you know, answer, based on the future Malasa and Sabriel is based on the future Ritzicha that grants him a Din Rodev. And once he's a Din Rodev, it's not limited to Sayev. Once he's a Din Rodev, you can kill him in any which way possible.
So the question of that is about the doctor
do. Yes, exactly. So the big question, a lot of guys were asking in Shir, and I think this is the chisaron of the second answer to the Gerari, is that the Torah and the Mishnah make it very clear that the Ben Sora Mora is Dafka Skila. According to this answer, the Gur Aryeh, as he keeps on oscillating between skila and kol misa shiyirtze, he calls him a din rodef. So it would seem to be that this person, you can kill him in any which way possible, which again, for the Gorari, it seems like he interprets, you know, the pasuk and the Mishnah is saying like af skila, right? Not dafka skila. It's really even skila because he's a din rodef. You can kill him in any which way possible, which includes the most chamor onesh of skila. But again, I think the problem is that it seems from the Torah and from the Mishnah that it's dafka skila. And only two
also,
questions. Yeah.
Also, just from this roughly, it should be specifically sadi, according to that answer, because.
Yeah, we're throwing at the Gerari now? The second answer to the Gerari?
Yes, but I'm saying that because I think it's Mizrachi.
Yeah, sorry, I cut you off. What do you...
Or, I don't know. One of the Marshals said that the ideal way to kill a rogue is the punishment that you get for the city.
Yeah.
So, then you shouldn't give it.
100%. You'll see. There's going to be a Chiddush Eran later, we'll see in the Sugya of Rodev, which again is going to highlight that Lichat Chila, you should give Sayah. What?
Is that an answer to the question?
No. To me, that's a Chisaron. I don't understand how. I think he understands the mission as Af Skila, but I think that's not the most question. There's some other things in the Gorari, but I think for time's sake, I think we're just going to move on for now. Okay. So, Arkan was, you know, again, the first group of answers, again, all justifying, you know, the onesh of skila based on actions in the future. Again, whether it be, you know, chol Shabbos, based on kidnapping, based on any avera, based on multiple ritzichos, or based on this last factor of real day. Because again, these are all answers that are focused on the future. Oh. So now this is the more exciting part even. Getting to the second more mechudosh approach, which again looks to past previous actions to justify the chi of skila. So again, in the Rishonim, what's the Avera, which is invoked by both, cut to the chase, by both the Rush and the Dasiket, and which past Avera is invoked to justify the Chiyav Skila? Exactly, the Kalal of the V'imo. Again, excellent. So within the Kalal of the V'imo, it's very important to note that, you know, both, again, the Rush's second day has this, and the Dasiket, they both have this answer. But if you look very carefully at their Lashonos, there seems to be a subtle distinction between them.
Well,
yeah, exactly. So we'll get to that. So if someone could read for us.
Can I read the Rush?
Yes. Specifically the Inami, though.
What?
Specifically the Inami. The second line? Inami?
Oh, can I start from the Seivan?
Nope.
Okay. Alright. Inami, Medichtiv, Inanashamayani Kalshu, Mikalo.
Ooh, slow. These are keywords. Medichtiv, Inanu Shomea. That's the Pasuk, right? Which Pasuk which says what? Huh? Which means what?
Not listening.
Good.
Miklal Shehu, Mikalel, Avi, Mihiro, Mikhaiskil.
Okay, so what do you think that means, the Pashtos? What's the Miklal Shehu? How do you interpret that?
Sorry?
How would you translate
that
term?
Miklal Shehu?
Yeah.
From the...
No, you don't have to be literally, meaning from, yeah.
From
here it appears.
It indicates that, what he's doing.
Or like Mechlau, from here we see, from right, Einenu Shomea, right, we can derive from Einenu Shomea, from the fact that the Pasuk says that he was not listening, that he was Mechalal of the Imam, that he cursed his parents. Seemingly, exactly. So the simple interpretation of this Rush, again, unless... Before what? Exactly. The simple interpretation of this line is that he actually cursed his parents, and therefore he was mekalel of the imo in the manner which would be chayiv skila, which is v'shem hamefarash. Right? He invoked shem Hashem when he cursed his parents, and therefore he's chayiv skila for that. We'll get back to that.
It's only called cursing if you invoke the same.
Yeah. Make her din. Yeah. So we'll get to that. So that's the simple interpretation. Simple interpretation. So you guys are all good. Okay. But let's contrast that with the Das Akedah. Let's do this quickly because we really have to get moving here. Starting with Nira Lomer. Center, if you don't mind. Second line of Das Akedah, Nira Lomer.
Oh.
So he's saying that it's not that he actually cursed or the cow of the demons, can you lose the cow?
Exactly. It doesn't. Oh. That's just the chiyuv skila for someone who's in kal avodim. Yeah. The lashon of dama bo is the lashon of skila. Fine. Okay. So now let's analyze again. So at first glance, the Rosh's formulation of mechlal shehu seems to be that he actually cursed. In stark contrast, Dasakinim's formulation, it sounds like he didn't actually curse. It's as if he's cursed. So we're going to have to analyze each in isolation. So the first version, which is of the Rosh, it's as if he actually cursed, has two very big kashas on it.
On the Rush.
On the Rush, exactly right. If you interpret the Rush, kipashas, that the Ben Sora Moreh actually cursed his parents, so kasha number one is, if the mechayev of the Misa of Skila is the fact that he's mekal avivimo in the past, so then that should suffice on its own. Right? As the Pasuk quotes, right, once you perform an actual mekal avimo, you're chayav skila, gemarnu. So why then does the Mishnah and the Braisa have to invoke the future of Nidon Hashem Sofo of Melas and Esabrinus? Lest you say, oh, maybe the Rush is ignoring that Gemara, that Mishnah and Gemara, if that was possible. Besides the fact that you can't, he doesn't. Look at the first line of the Rush. Kiel Ish, see, that's why I started beginning this, and I had to start later. Back to the Rush. Kiel Ish Ben Soramora, Bal Shem Sofo Nerav, Ki Asid Lilas in Esabrios. So in the first line, the Rush invokes Al Shem Sofo, and then the very next line, he mentions this pshat on the Kal of the Imo. So the big question again, if it's actual Kal of the Imo, so then why do you need this factor of Nidon Al Shem Sofo? Question number one. Question number two is, I was giving a little hard time. Not yet. The other question is, it seems to be a very difficult okimta. Meaning, if you read the Rosh Kapashtas, the Pasuk says, Enenu Shomea, that's why I asked you to translate, I wasn't trying to just be mean here. Enenu Shomea, which means he didn't listen. So, Mechlal Shehum Nikal of the Imam? Is it so clear? I mean, what type of. There's no makor in the Gemara to the fact that there was a klala here. So then, what type of diuk is that? The Pasuk says that this child, this Ben Sora Moreh, didn't listen to his parents, so that's obvious that, oh, since he didn't listen to them, he must have cursed them. You know, we know a lot of children who don't listen to their parents, but hopefully don't curse them.
It says it includes the same
again.
It doesn't
mean
curse them.
Okay, very good. We'll get to it. Okay.
How
did you
do
okay. So on the basis of these two questions, this is where, you know, Baruch is helping me out. Again, so I think that the Pasha Pshat of Mechal Shehu, as interpreted as, okay, we see that he had been Mechal of Vimo in the past, is very hard to understand. On the basis of these two questions. Again, number one, if it was an actual Kilo of Vimo, why do you need Nidon Hashem Sofo? Number two, Mehechitesi. Now, where do you get from the Psukim? Where do you derive from an Enu Shomea, from lack of listening, that necessarily means that there was a klal. So on that basis, I would assume, like you just suggested,
that's the second question.
What?
Both
questions together. On the basis of both these questions, I would say that perhaps maybe we can read the Rush in light of the Dasakina. And perhaps exactly like the Havi Kamon. And the Mechlal Shehu is not Mechlal Shehu in the past, is that the Enenu Shomea itself is a Mechlal Shehu. Meaning, Enenu Shomea has the din of Mechal of the Imam. And Mechlal Shehu can be interpreted in two different ways. Mechlal Shehu, we see that he had in the past, or, meaning in a separate occurrence, that would be the Pashat Pshat, or Mechlal Shehu, from the fact that he was Enenu Shomea in this manner, which we'll explain, that is Mechal of the Imam. And in that, if you interpret again, the Rosh, in light of Das Sakinim, and we're going to be able to answer both of those questions. So in short, suggesting, again, I'll be open to understand to any defenses of the simple reading of the Rosh, but again, this new interpretation with which we're going to answer both these questions is that perhaps read the Rosh in light of the Das Sakinim, that the Rosh also means some type of, it's like a din of Mechal Al Bimo. The Mechal Shehu is not, oh, we see that he had cursed in the past, but that Mechal from Enu Shomea, that the fact that he was Enu Shomea, that itself is Mechal Shehu Mechal Al Bimo. And with that, we're going to be able to answer both these questions. Mechal is like, we see that he did. Right, just the words.
I understand.
And Mechal is like, we see. Right, we can derive, I mean, we derive is probably the literal translation.
Yeah.
Right, from Inenu Shomea, we derive that he was Mechal of the Ima. So if you think about it, yeah, but maybe, so now it's an open question. We derive from his Inenu Shomea that he was Mechal of the Ima in a separate occurrence, or do we derive from the Inenu Shomea that he was Mechal of the Ima because Inenu Shomea has the din of Mechal of the Ima?
That doesn't help the problem.
We'll get there right now.
That would still be sufficient.
Yeah. With this.
Would this be a literal Kamala, or more like a Kamala?
In short, with this, now let's transition to the Das Hakeim and we'll utilize this to answer both questions. Okay, so moving on to so again, first version of interpreting the Rosh. What?
What's the answer?
I didn't get there yet.
What's the question
I'm going to get there. You know, I'll summarize. Simple interpretation of the Rosh is that there was an actual Mechal of Ima. The two problems with that interpretation is, number one, then why do you need an Hashem Sofo? Number two, Mehechit Hesed, in short. So I'm suggesting that if you read the Rosh in light of the Das Lakenim, that it's really a Kemo, and that Mechal Shehu is that we derive from the Inin Shomea Shehu Mekala of Vimo, because Einenu Shomea has the din of Mekala of Vimo. So if we take that approach, which is clear in the Das Hakeinim, we will then be able to answer both of the questions that we answered. And we'll just deal with that right now. So again, now leading up to the Das Hakeinim. So again, as we pointed out, it's clear from the Das Hakeinim that it's not an actual Mekala of Vimo. It's not that, oh, if you look back at the Ben Sora Mora's past history, there was a time in which he was Mekala of Vimo B'Shem HaMefarash. No, it's rather, it's Kimo. That somehow, the fact that he was Einenu Shomea, the Kol Ovid, the Kol Imo, is treated as if he was Mekala of Vimo. And now we're suggesting, perhaps, that's also Pshat in the Rosh. With this, we're going to be able to answer all the questions. But just to put it all in perspective, let's just present its own questions. With this approach, again, this understanding of, for sure, this Vaday Pshat and Das Hakeinim, and perhaps the Pshat and the Rosh, again, that Einenu Shomea B'Kol Ovid V'Kol Imo has the din of Mekal Ovid V'Imo. So the basic question number one is going to be, how does X equal Y? Why is it that Mekal Ovid V'Imo, that Einenu Shomea B'Kol Ovid V'Kol Imo has the din of Mekal Ovid V'Imo? Question number one. And question number two is, again, how do we fit in Nidon Hashem Sofo? Right? Questions make sense? How does Einenu Shomea B'Kol Ovid V'Kol Imo result in the din of Mekal Ovid V'Imo? And then where does Nidon Hashem Sofo come in? And again, the same thing with Das Hakeinim, same thing as the Rosh at Das Hakeinim. Das Hakeinim also, in the first line, invokes El Shem Sofo. So again, also with the Das Hakeinim, you have to explain the role of Nidon El Shem Sofo. So I'd like to suggest, and a couple of guys have suggested something similar. That these two questions answer each other. right? How, right? First question is, how does an inishameh b'kolav b'kol imo lead to metal of imo? The second question is, where does Nidon Hashem Sofo come in? So the structure of the answer is that Nidon Hashem Sofo is going to be the link. And I'll explain as follows. The fact that this Ben Sora Mora was an inner shaman b'kolav b'kol imo, right? And he exhibited these actions of stealing from his parents and using it to repeatedly buy the meat and the wine. The fact that that rebellion, that an inner shaman b'kolav b'kol imo, will not stop there. That rebellion is not limited to stealing from his parents, but that rebellion will lead to a future Malasim and Sabrios. That future Malasim and Sabrios magnifies the rebellion of the Ben Sora Umore against his parents. And that supercharged rebellion, right, the Enin Shomei B'Kolav B'Kol Ima, which is exacerbated by that future trajectory of Malasim and Sabrios, that basically generates a huge bizayon to the parents. And now this is big Kiddush. And the merit against the parents at the bizayon that this behavior inflicts upon the parents has the din of mekalo of the imo. Meaning that mekalo, this approach assumes, I have some basis for this in just a moment, so provide basis for this, that the mechayiv of Mekalo of the Imo, according to for sure the Das Akedah and perhaps the Rush, the underlying Mechayiv of Mekalo of the Imo is the Bizayon to the parents. Generally, the way in which you generate, right, the way in which that Bizayon is generated, is generally through the means of a Klala with a Shem HaNeforash. But once the ultimate mechayev is not the shvua with Shema Mefarash, but is rather the totsah, you can say, of the bizayon caused to the parents.
Did they kill him?
What?
Did they kill him?
No. Generally, we're saying the underlying mechayev of mekalo of the imam, when you curse your parents, is not the actual, you know, klala with Shema Mefarash. The klala with the shvua with Shema Mefarash is a means of generating the bizayon to the parents. Once you assume that the underlying mechayev is that resulting bizayon to the parents, so then it's possible that in certain circumstances you can generate that bizayon with an alternative track other than the Shema Mefarash track. Generally, you can only generate that high-level bizayon through a klal with Shema Mefarash. But here the Torah is telling us that another way to generate that high level of bizayon, which is mechayev skila, is the merit of a ben sora mora. The merit of the ben sora mora against his parents, which is not just based on his current behavior, but in light of the nidan hashem sofa, where that's going to take him in the future. So all that big picture generates the ultimate bizayon to the parents, such that bizayon is mechayev mekalel of the imam. So before you all jump on me, yeah. So I just want to prove, right, one of the big assumptions, there are a couple of big assumptions here. One of the big assumptions of this approach is that part of the mechayev of mekalel of the imam is not just the shvua with the shame of Mefarash, but is the bizayon inflicted upon the parents. So please turn to Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Very important Rashi here. Again, it doesn't get us all the way, but it gets us an important part of the way.
So they say you don't have to curse on the parents or the guy's going
exactly
to do the
result. Again, remember, we're coming off of Das Akedah. Das Akedah says, Einein Shomea Havi Kimo Mekal of the Imam. So the question is, how does Einein Shomea, how do you get from Einein Shomea? And whether you like my pshat on the Rush, take it or leave it. Das Akedah now. Das Akedah says somehow the Einein Shomea the current actions of the Ben Sora Mura has the din of Makal al Vino. And we all agree, I think, that Das Kingdom doesn't think there's actually a Makal al Vino here. There's no Shavuah B'Shem HaFarish, because then he wouldn't need to say Habe Kimo. He would just say Habe, or whichever other way of saying it. So we're just trying to explain the link. Why is it that, how do you link an Inishameh the Kolav of Kol Imo to Makalel? So we're saying the link is that that perhaps the underlying Mechayev of Makalel of Vimo is not the Shavuah, the Shem HaFarish, but is rather the Totsah of Bizayon inflicted upon the parents. We'll prove that just now. And with that, you can then understand that perhaps the Inin Shomea generates that same Bizayon, which could therefore be, then on that basis, you could therefore say, Havi Kimo, Mikal Lav Vimo. The Bizayon generated by the Inin Shomea, the Kol Imo, in conjunction with the Nidon Hashem Sofo, to put it all together, that makes it have a din of Mikal Lav Vimo. So just to prove that an aspect of the Mechayev, Mekal of the Imo, is this factor of Bizayon, look at Rashi and Gimel Amel. See 12 skinny lines up? Yeah, you guys see, do you want to ask about Mekal of the Imo?
Where are the pages?
It's like 12 skinny lines up. Gimel Amel, if everyone have it? Nun Gimel. 53A. Does anyone want to go for it? Aaron? Do you have it? Does everyone have it? So again, this is the context. This is the Mishnah which says, the Mekal of Vimos Chayiv Skila. So the implicit question that Rashi is dealing with is, why is Mekal of Vimo more chamor, of a more chamor onish of Skila, than when you mock it of Vimo, when you just hit them? So he answers,
on the Mekal of Vimo, after the marking, you shouldn't get tired.
Say it louder, please. Thank you. Okay. So we got partially to right now. One second. Halon is a form of design. You can look it up in Joshua. Yeah. Okay, so this is a very important Rashi, which basically tells us that part of the Mechayev of Mekal of the Imo is the kolon, is the Bizayon inflicted upon his hands. What?
That's
just the definition of kolon. Yeah, it's the. I don't know if anyone has a better definition. It's Bizayon related. What?
What do you say?
What do you say? Where else? It's like in the context of, Rovea Behema. It's the kolon. It's the Bizayon associated thing.
But it says you
trust
need
me.
Tarty.
Oh, very good. Okay. When I said we go part of the way, this Rashi proves that the factor of Bizayon to Ava V'Imo is part of Mechayev. This Rashi also says that the other part of Mechayev is the usage of Shem Mefarash. And that's not here. All I'm suggesting is that the Das Zakenim, perhaps agrees with Rashi, but takes it further. And perhaps he thinks that the underlying Mechayev, he takes, let's say, the ratio of Rashi, that the underlying Mechayev of the Kala Ava V'Imo is this Kalon, is this Bizayon, and he thinks that that's the sole Mechayev. And that generally, you need Shem Mefarash to generate that Kalon, that Bizayon. But in the unique case of Ben Sora Mora, because of his Enin Shomea coupled with his Nidon Hashem Sofo, that gets us to the finish line of that Bizayon.
Isn't it just a concept that we know that one in the Kal of the Emo has skill?
Yeah, we're just trying to understand that.
I'm saying that's a concept that only by of the Emo is this such a crazy idea that if you really do conditions, the Kehla over Abed Ben Sora Mora.
I mean, because it's against his parents also.
But
I mean, and in a Shomei of a Kol Abed
Ben Sora Mora. Even if you heard of Zion, I'm most ashamed of Shemayim and Vital, you never would have thought of it.
Honestly, if the Das Kingdom didn't say it, I wouldn't have thought it either. But the Das Kingdom says that an inner Shomei of a Kol Abed Ben Sora Mora has a din of a Kol Abed Ben Sora Mora. So to me, the way to explain it is through this idea of Bizayon. I just want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to take all the questions. So one big assumption of this Mahalach is that an aspect of the Mechayev Mekal of the Imo is this factor of Bizayon. I'm trying to cite Rashi as a raya that, this factor of Bizayon is part of the Mechayev. Again, Rashi says it's part, perhaps according to Das Kingdom, perhaps according to the Rush, it's the underlying Mechayev. The other bichidish of this approach is that the machayev of Ben Sora Moria is the rebellion against his parents. Right, according to this approach, what's going on is that, like, the Iker Machayev is that the rebellion against his parents and the bizayon that causes, that's the Iker Machayev. Right, according to this approach, the Nidon al Shem Sofo, that which he's going to do in the future, just exacerbates the current bizayon. Right? Again, this, remember, this is the second approach. This is all the past. This is all, you know, the focus is on the past, and the future is just shedding light on the past. Right, this approach, according to the Tassel Kingdom and the Rush, is basically saying that the future just informs the past, and according to this version of it, we're basically saying that the rebellion of present is exacerbated when viewed in light of what it's going to become. So I just want to give a couple of rayos to this idea that the merit against the parents is the Iker Mechayim. So one is, that's the Gemara in Peches on the Beis Shahad, you see. But the Gemara in Peches on the Beis says, Peches on the Beis, 88b. Alright, the top line. As
really
mine. That the Iker Mechayev is the merit against
Rashi
the parents.
Said it first.
What?
Rashi said it first.
Rashi?
I mean, the fact that our Rashi that you pointed us out to on.
No, that's by Mikhail of Avino.
Are you talking about?
Back to Ben Soramar. That back to Ben, I mean, I said the other assumption of this approach is that the Iker Mechayev of Ben Sora Moreh is the merit against the parents, and there, by the way, we took it. Next step was therefore that merit, which thereby generated this high level of Bizayim. So I want to just bring a couple of Raya's.
Is it necessary to say that the fact that the Iker of the Kalav of the Imo has to be that the merit is, but it could be that it's just a side product of the case of Ben Sora Moreh?
No, but. The whole point is that Mikhail Vimo is the Iker Mechayev of Ben Sora Moreh. According to Dasa Kanim, why is this Ben Sora Moreh Chayev Skila? Mikhail Vimo. Is that a side point or is that the Iker point?
What I'm saying, it doesn't have to be. It could be.
It would seem that the Mechayev of Skila, in the grand scheme of things, would presumably be the primary Mechayev of the Ben Sora Moreh. So therefore, if you think that the Mechayev of the Skila is the Mekala of the Imo, and you explain the Mekala of the Imo based on the Bizayim and the merit to the parents, so you would like to find evidence in the Sugya that the Iker Mechayev of Ben Sora Moreh is the merit against the parents. So just quickly, Ezra, you're still up?
Yeah.
Top line on Peches and Viz.
Ben Sora Moreh is Shrata Avi Be'im, Olamachol Lo.
What does that mean? If the parents want to be mochel the Ben Sora Moreh, he's not chayiv misa.
Whoa!
There you go.
Is that true?
There you go.
It generally assumes Mara is true.
I thought
just. I want to get you guys to write a cone. I'm going to take all your questions. I'll stay afterwards. So the Gemara on Peches and Beis clearly states, and we assume it's true, that the parents are able to be mochel on the Ben Sora Moreh.
That's a perfect reference.
So, Rav Soloveitchik quoted in Shirei HaRav, pages 110 to 112, develops on the basis of this makor that the Iker Mechayev of Misa for Ben Sora Moreh must be the merit against his parents. Because if the Iker Mechayev wasn't the merit against the parents, then how could they be mochel then? The only way they're bailim to be mochel is if the mechayev of the Ben Sora Moreh is that which is inflicted upon them. Raya number one. 110 to 112. He says a similar thing by Zaken Mamre, and Beis Din is the next line, that Beis Din is able to be mochel Zaken Mamre similarly because the Iker Mechayev of Zaken Mamre is the Bizayon to Beis Din.
It shows more than that, no?
I'm not answering questions, I can't. I'll take all questions. I just want to finish because you guys want to go to Raya. Mr. Schmidt, I just want to make sure they get in. So our first Raya is the Gemara and the Rav's explanation. Seems to be pretty posh. The other Raya comes from the Rambam. The Rambam.
Rambam.
Exactly. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. How do you see? Again, it's very important always to try to figure out, meaning try to derive significance of where the Rambam places certain sets of halachos. So the Rambam decides to place the dinim of Ben Sora Moreh in Hilchos Mamrim. and you look through Hilchos Mamrim, Hilchos Mamrim is all about the kavod that one needs to show exhibit towards Beis Din, and the kavod that one needs to exhibit towards your parents. So specifically in that context, that the Rambam places these dinim of Ben Sora Mora. Indication. Mamrim. Hilchos Mamrim. Like, waywards. Not good ways. Rebeller. Yeah.
I was thinking of Ben Sora Mora.
What? Exactly.
Why is it different?
What?
No,
he just calls the halachos, right, the group of halachos that the Rambam formulates, the din of Ben Sora Mora, it's called Hilchos Mamrim, those who rebel.
Oh.
Right? So again, highlighting that the Ikar Machayev is the rebellion, and again, it's the context of rebellion against parents. So, indication number one of the Rambam is the placement within Hilchos Mamrim. Indication number two is the Rambam, I have you see the Koteris, right? The Rambam there succinctly, right, characterizes the Machayev of Ben Sora Mora. And he says, the way he formulates it, again, no reference to the future Misa, he says, Shelo, again, right after mentioning the dinam of being mechabed your parents and fearing your parents, again, that's based on point number one, it's all in the context of the proper way of treating your parents, and because this is all about the improper rebellion against your parents. That was all point number one. And the way he formulates it, the Rambam says, very important, so Shelo Yehe, sorry, Shelo Yehiyeha Ben Sorer Umore Al Kol Aviv V'Imam. The only thing he references is the rebellion against Kol Aviv V'Imam. No reference to anything in the future, no reference to any killing in the future. But again, for the Rambam, if the Ikar Mechayev is the rebellion against his parents, and the future Nidan Hashem Sof is just a shear in the rebellion, so then it makes sense to characterize the Mechayev all in terms of the rebellion. And point number three, Aaron pointed this out to me also in Seder. If you look at the Rambam in his halachos, there's no explicit reference to Nidan Hashem Sofa. Again, in Perek Zayin Halach Aleph, there's a slight reference to it. But again, if the Ikar Mechayev is Nidan Hashem Sofa, that which is going to do in the future, you expect that to be explicitly mentioned and developed by the Rambam. But again, yet another indication by the Rambam that the Ikar Mechayev is the rebellion against the parents, and therefore there's a downplaying of the Nidan Hashem Sofa because that's all a shear in the rebellion.
So
again,
have to deal with it. Huh? Even though it may be a very small couple,
again, there is a reference in Halacha Aleph to it, but it's a subtle again. Anyone who wants to go to Icon, feel free, I'll take all questions. I'm going to take all questions right now. Okay.
How does the Yad Ramah deal with that?